Hey, we're back here on Downtown on a Monday afternoon, 4:30. Time to welcome in our friend Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Happy Monday there, Chad. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. I mean, it's a beautiful day, great fall weather out there. It's hard to complain.
There's leaves all over the lawn, Rich. I don't know.
I was talking about that with a friend of mine this morning. This is my approach to leaves. I will rake once, and so I wait for that very last leaf to fall. And if anything happens after that, I'm going to take my lawnmower out, and I'm going to mulch those suckers up.
Yeah, I'm a big mower. We got a leaf blower last year that worked wonders until I set it in the ground, and it broke into bits. So probably going to get a new one of those this year, but that once my wife signs off on it. But, yeah, we get it pretty bad down here before September's even over.
I don't even have that many trees around my yard. It's my neighbor's trees, and I've said to them, "Look, all your leaves keep falling in my backyard." And my neighbor smiles and says, "It's our gift to you. Enjoy."
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I like that.
When you burn the house down.
I don't think I'm going to go to that length.
We said something different in Southern Maine.
I know it's a whole lot tougher down there. Let's talk about the Patriots. Speaking of tough, my goodness, those Patriots, 15 straight over the Jets. Thank you, Zach Wilson.
Yeah, they're getting increasingly more difficult, but they still win in the end, right? The Marcus Jones punt return walk-off last year and Hail Mary a couple inches. If you're going to say Randall Cobb was close to catching that, you got to say the Pats were close to getting the one in one of the Giants Super Bowls there too. I don't think it was quite that close, but there was a moment of tension for sure. But they got the W they needed, and I think there were some pretty good things to take away from that game. You know, everybody's going to dwell on the offense looking kind of sluggish and the passing game not being sharp, but defense looks really good, and maybe that'll serve them well here until the offense figures it out.
Yeah, I guess the frustrating part of the offense for me was at the end of the game in the last 5 minutes when they had three possessions and couldn't muster one first down to try and run out the clock.
Yeah, that was really frustrating because just so many chances to say, all right, here we go, put the game away. And they couldn't do it. And I know the Jets had that out-of-nowhere drive, too. They had a drive where suddenly Zach Wilson looks like the number two pick in the draft for about 3 minutes of the game. They held on. I think Mac maybe isn't quite on the same page as some of his receivers right now. There's probably no think about that. It's pretty clear. There's a lot of reasons to like Demario Douglas, but there are a couple situations where he and Mac were thinking different things yesterday. And, Douglas would go one way and Mac would throw the ball the other way. And it just made me think of if this were Tom Brady, that receiver would never see a pass again coming his way. You got to be on the same page with the quarterback. I think that'll come. If Juju Smith-Schuster can get healthy, he's given them nothing and had a bad penalty yesterday, but he can get healthy. I'm not completely writing him off yet either. A lot of people down here in Boston are, but that's where they really need to grow. We saw progress. The offensive line wasn't bad. Mac didn't take the sack. The running game was okay. You know, you want to see more out of Stevenson, but really the place that they have to get better, and I think they will, is just the connectivity between Mac and his receivers.
Well, and maybe, and you wrote about it in your report on the game, and maybe we found something there. In Pharaoh Brown, that touchdown pass was pretty sweet.
Yeah, nice 13-yard reception, broke a couple tackles after that. I mean, he's a massive guy, 6'6", and I think it was some like 260. So he caught everyone by surprise, including Patriots fans that didn't even know he was on the roster until he's running 58 yards. Like, wait, what number is that? Who is that guy? He's like the Algie Crumpler of this year's team, just the guy who's here to help with the running game, but they saw something on film, Max said it, that made them think they could sneak in behind the defense with that three tight end set, and the Jets had some miscommunication there between Whitehead and Sauce Gardner, and he was off to the races.
Everybody raised eyebrows and said, well, there goes Belichick again when he grabbed Chad Ryland in the fourth round, but that's looking like a pretty good pick right now.
Yeah, that was a heck of a 2-for-4 day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They were all bombs. Weather's terrible, two bad snaps. You know, one of the misses was the 57-yarder, so you're kind of hoping there, but you're not counting on it. He looks like the real thing. I heard James White on podcast, Brian Barrett with The Ringer this morning, does a pass wrap-up every Monday after the game, and he was saying how impressed he was with Ryland when he was at Maryland, and that he thinks he's going to be a really good kicker, and thought that coming in, you know, the Pats took him in the fourth round, he thought that was pretty smart. So, Folk was really reliable, but he just didn't have the leg that you need nowadays. These guys all making 45-yard field goals look easy. He couldn't do that. Ryland seems like one of those guys that can, and to attempt 4 field goals over 40-plus yards in bad weather tells you Belichick trusts them already.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown. As you wrote, we don't know how good they are because it's only the Jets. We may find out this week against the Cowboys, although who expected them to lose to Arizona?
Yeah, I've been thinking all year I was going to pick the Pats to beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys don't handle prosperity well, but the Cardinals beat the Patriots to that upset, I think, that nobody was watching, was looking for. I'm not a Mike McCarthy believer. I just think he's a really mediocre coach, and that's a mismatch in the Patriots' favor. Dallas has a really talented roster, but they just lost Diggs, who's their ball hawk in their defensive backfield. I don't know how you contain Micah Parsons with the issues that the Pats line have had. They'll probably send a bunch of, probably see Farrell Brown over there chipping him with, Trent Brown, whoever else was assigned to block him. But I think the Patriots are going to be at least very competitive in this game anyway. Dallas is the more talented team. I think we've said that about every team the Patriots have played this year, including the Jets. But I still think there's a decent chance they get to 2-2 this weekend.
When you spoke with us 2 weeks ago today, you said...
That was me.
You said you thought Heim Bloom would be gone. You are indeed Nostradamus.
Yeah, there was just a lot of smoke. I'd been working on some other media story and talking to some people of the Red Sox who, kind of have a sense for how things are going. And one of the people I was talking to said, I'm starting to think he's gone. I think the trade deadline was the turning point, that there were deals to be made and he did not make them. And then he was gone. And then you see those reports coming out that there were deals to be made and he didn't make them. And I think people in the higher ups in the Red Sox organization were wondering if he would ever be the guy to be able to make those moves that they have to make to get back to that really competitive level in the AL East, where they're a genuine playoff contender and not one that hovers on the fringe for a little bit in the summer, but isn't really in the mix, and then kind of fades like they did this year. Really fades like they did this year. There, he could have traded Justin Turner to Miami and gotten Edward Cabrera, pretty talented pitcher who's been up and down in his career. But they could have done that. Didn't trade Paxton. There were reports that he had second thoughts about deals that he made for Yoshida and for Story, that he kind of beats himself up over things after he does them. You can't be that way in the Boston market. And he's a really nice guy, a good guy, accessible, great with the media. But so in that sense, it's sad to see him go, but it just didn't feel like he was quite the right fit for what the Red Sox need.
You hear a lot of names, but what type of guy do you think they would like to get?
A mix. You know, they can't go with the strain analytics guy. I mean, everybody's a mix to some degree. But they're not going to go for another Dave Dombrowski either, who's very old school and, was happy to throw the owner's money around, which got them an incredible 2018 season and got Dombrowski fired before the next season was over. So I think there's legitimacy to the Sam Fold stuff, which is kind of ironic because Bloom wanted to bring him to the Red Sox, possibly as his manager. I think if he had the choice, he probably would have hired Sam Fold as the manager rather than having Alex Cora stay around. Cora's so ingrained with the organization that he even came back after his suspension. So it'd be interesting if Fold ended up being the guy who replaced him. Bloom wanted to hear him here so badly. But he's a local kid, Durham, New Hampshire. I covered him in high school, and I worked in New Hampshire, so That would be pretty interesting to see a New England kid with a playing background and a really strong analytics background take this job.
I have to think that whoever is making the decisions, top of the shopping list for the offseason is number one, starting pitching, and number two, more starting pitching.
Yeah, it's got to be two guys, right?
I think so.
You can't do the whole, if Tanner Houck puts it together and Garrett Whitlock stays healthy, I'll take Cutter Crawford as your number four or five starter. We can do that. But everybody else, those roles still aren't settled for what they're supposed to be. And I think there's a lot of evidence now that Whitlock's got to be a reliever. He stays healthier that way, and he's been more effective for the most part. But you got to get two guys, whether it's Yamamoto, who's going to be super bidding for him, 25 years old and incredibly talented pitcher in Japan, or a guy like Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, Urias for the Dodgers was going to be a free agent until all the awful stuff came up with him. But so who knows whether he's even going to play in Major League Baseball again. But there's going to be some guys out there that the Red Sox really should be interested in and go after, just to high-quality pitchers to get you 180 to 200 innings a year. That would be fantastic.
What do they do with Chris Sale with another year left on his contract?
I think Heim's about to pull the trigger on the trade to send him to the Rangers from 2 years ago.
Oh, good, good.
He's going to sign off on that one anytime now. I guess they just got to ride it out, right? It's hard to figure there'll be a taker. He looked pretty good when he came back. Didn't look so good after other stuff cropped up. But you just can't rely on him. You can't go into the season saying Sale's one of our front-end starter sales, someone who's going to be in the middle of our rotation. He's almost like a bonus. If you get 120 innings out of Chris Sale and they're good innings, that's a pleasant surprise at this point in his career.
I am in complete agreement with you. I'm sad to see the end of Winning Time. I enjoyed it so much, and we've had Jeff Perlman on the show a few times, and he's a great guy who was out there campaigning for it to continue. That was just the fun TV, because there aren't a lot of television shows out there that somewhat fictionalize the world of sports.
No, and yeah, I wrote that, and I got an email from my friend Bob Ryan yesterday saying a lot of words I can't say on the radio about what you thought of
it. Oh, I know Bob hates it. He hates it.
He hates it, but my argument with him is they're up front that it's not real. I know it's in this weird place between, like, basically a rehash of the Celtics Lakers Wikipedia and then fictionalized, and it's in this weird spot, but it's really entertaining. They do a lot of stuff well. The cast was fantastic. Adrian Brody as Pat Riley was great. The Quincy Isaiah kid who played Magic, the guy who played Larry Bird, got his shot down perfectly. Those things don't usually happen in sports TV shows and movies, and I look forward to it every Sunday. I'm going to miss it. The ending was so abrupt that suddenly the Celtics are winning the 84 title, and you're expecting this thing to run at least till 91, because they began with Magic getting the HIV virus. This is the first scene on the show, him at a doctor's office, and all of a sudden it's over. That's disappointing. It was a lot of fun.
No, I did see some chatter on the internet that the producers aren't convinced it's dead yet. Maybe they can find another outlet. Maybe they could go to Showtime and actually call it Showtime.
That's great. Yeah, there's 4 billion streaming outlets. I'd love to know what the budget for that show was. I mean, they had Brody's an A-lister. He's great at everything. Jason Segel's got a great career. They had Sally Field, John C. Reilly. I mean,
Michael Chiklis as Auerbach was great.
Yeah, and he was in like 5 episodes. Just they must have had an insane budget. So maybe some of that gets pared back a little bit. Just what it takes to put on like a reenactment of the 84 finals must have been pretty costly, but I'd like to see it be saved. I've heard I listened to Perlman's podcast, and he didn't sound that optimistic, but you never know in TV, especially with the writer's strike, the writer's aspect of it anyway, over now or close to over.
Chad Fenn of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Chad, great talking with you. As always, hope the rest of your Monday goes as well as the last 15 minutes have gone.
That's what I always aspire to. Thanks.
Thanks, Chad. Talk with you soon. Chad Fenn with us here on Downtown on a Monday afternoon.